Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We're going to talk to a friend of ours who's working from home, and it's all about this third round of support measures that's set to be announced by Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for Finance, Heng Swee Keat. Parliament sits today. It's all about tiding businesses, workers, and households through the COVID-19 outbreak. 2 p.m.
Yeah, and a lot of this is connected, of course, to these new measures. So Singapore is closing schools, most workplaces. This is all happening for a month for the first time in our history to stem the spread of the disease. This is what Mr. Heng said in a Facebook post on Sunday.
So it's taken a very sharp turn, both globally and locally. Strong measures have to be taken to protect lives, but the economy has taken a hit as a result. So our friend working from home to help us out is Jeff Ng, a senior treasury strategist at HL Bank. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Hanging in there.
Yes.
We're under essential services. So info and comms is what we fall under. So we are here today in the studio.
Yeah. Well, like a lot of people, Jeff, you're working from home, but you still have all the perspective. This is going to be the third round of support measures in less than 2 months. How urgent is this package, do you think? What are some of the signs or data that you've been watching out for?
Yeah, so I think compared to the second budget, which is the supplementary budget, I think this time round, I think what the main features of this third budget will be to address, you know, for instance, the business and as well as the household worker disruption, at least for the month of April, because a lot of people, like what you mentioned, they are working from home and even schools, most schools are going to be closed. So, yeah, I think, you know, the DPM here has already said, you know, on 4th of April that they will waive foreign worker subsidies temporarily and then enhance the job support scheme. And then we will expect more of these kind of measures to help to combat some of these disruptions going forward.
It's interesting though, Jeff, because I found personally the resilience budget was a little bit more complicated than the unity budget. What are you looking at or what are you expecting in terms of the size of this solidarity budget, the kind of package? Were there any areas that were missed out? Anyone falling through the cracks?
I think if you look at the second budget, the resilience budget, I think obviously it was much bigger than the first one.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think this time round, I think it's more to addressing the recent changes, you know, the circuit breaker that the Prime Minister has announced over Friday as well, you know, for more people to work from home and non-essential service basically to, you know, not be in business operation. So yeah, I think that's basically what has changed over the past 1-2 weeks or so, because we have said, I think over the past 2 weeks that the previous budget was quite comprehensive according to that situation. But if there's any situational changes, then of course there'll be a need for a bigger and additional budget to help to combat the downsides.
Hey, Jeff, Ryan here. I'm just going to take your attention elsewhere to the US, looking at the state of the economies elsewhere, such as what's happening in America, where we are seeing jobs data getting worse. For example, jobless claims moving closer to 10 million. And then on Friday, we had the non-farm payrolls down 701,000. And that is reversing from previous readings of more than 250,000 growing. So that is a big change. How bad is the US economy right now and how will it affect Singapore?
Well, if you look at the recent numbers, they are only, you know, showing the impact of the fallout from mid-March onwards. And this is only at the tip of the iceberg in my view. Right now, my estimates for the US economy is to, you know, maybe even contract by more than 2% for the whole year. Mm. And it looks still like an optimistic kind of projection given that how things have quickly deteriorated and a lot of the countries like Singapore, Malaysia have already revised downwards by their GDP estimates by even a more significant number. So yeah, the US economy is really heading for a sharp slowdown, and how it could affect Singapore economy will be true. I think, for instance, a lot of reduced demand from US consumers. Also, I think the US is not also experiencing the symptoms on its own. It's a kind of a global recession that we're looking at the moment.
Yeah, talking about slowdown, we are looking out for a slowdown of -4% to -1% in terms of growth this year. Jeff, what type of recovery do you think we will see in Singapore's economy? There are now many people starting to believe a V-shape is less likely because the damage has been quite extensive.
Well, I think for now, kind of trajectory that we could be looking at is more of sort of an L-shape or U-shape kind of recovery. Because if you look at, for instance, China, how they have started to recover their operations, and I think in my view, they're already trying to do it in quite an efficient manner. but the operations in Wuhan and surrounding provinces are only resuming gradually as the pandemic still rages around the rest of the world. So I don't think it will be an immediate back to normal when things start to normalize, but things will only gradually improve and the situation won't be 100% rebound when it's suddenly over.
Yeah, and in the absence of any vaccine, you want to think about the second wave potentially as well. Let's move on to oil, because this has been another big topic for the markets. Where do you see oil prices going? And do you think that OPEC Plus will actually reach a deal anytime soon?
Yeah, I think for the oil market, it's really for everyone's guess at the moment, because eventually there's a lot of expectations that there could still be a deal between various OPEC parties, including Russia. But at the same time, over the weekend, there's been news that the meeting is not happening for OPEC Plus because of disagreements between the various parties. So I think going forward, if you look at the demand side of the production, you have a lot of motor vehicles, ships, planes all idling around. So that means that global demand is definitely idle. But at the same time, supply, it will depend on, for instance, the agreement going forward. So for now, I think the oil prices continue to look pretty low. But we still think that they could gradually recover as the year progresses.
We're speaking with Jeff Ng, Senior Treasury Strategist at HL Bank. Jeff, I'm actually curious, and just to follow up on oil prices going low, right? So how exactly do low oil prices affect Singapore?
Yes, I think they help to affect the Singapore economy in various ways. I think if you look at, for instance, the benefits are that there'll be lower utility, likely lower utility prices,
okay.
Lower petrol prices, which we've seen over the past 2 months as well. And I think the negative side will be, for instance, a lot of the Singapore economy is oil-related. So I think about at least one-fifth of the economy is either oil product-related or like industries such as offshore and marine. Mm-hmm. So that will be a little bit of hit to these industries because if the prices are not high, it means that margins could be impacted for these industries as well going forward.
Yeah, there is definitely going to be some sore spots, aren't they? Let's just have a look at this week. Asian central banks will be in action. We've got Korea, Australia, for example. If there's any ammo left, is there more pressure to cut rates?
Well, I think for now, even March has been an extraordinary month. A lot of the central banks have already cut to the lowest potentially possible. For instance, the Reserve Bank of Australia, and they have already implemented quantitative easing. I think for some of the Asian central banks with still positive policy rates, there could still be some scope to cut a bit more. But I don't expect the magnitude to be similar to that that's happened previously. More of a continuation of previous policy, but mainly most of the G10 economies, such as Australia and the US, has already cut to almost zero. So I don't expect more measures in terms of policy rates, but maybe more measures to maintain financial accommodative stance and make sure that the financial markets are functioning properly.
Hey, Jeff, on the topic of currencies, right, looking at the Sing dollar, now we've got more spending in the works and you have a easing environment. How much weakness do you see in the Sing dollar? Now I'm looking at the dollar cross versus the Sing dollar, now at 1.44. So Sing dollar has lost about 3.4% in the past month. How much more downside do you see for the Sing dollar?
Indeed. I think for the Sing dollar, it has been a seesaw. And a lot of volatility that has come along as well with other regional currencies as the dollar has strengthened, then weakened, then strengthened, strengthened again. And I think at this moment, the dollar's momentum looks strong because investors are pricing in, for instance, the weak payrolls number, the weak initial jobless claims number. But I think eventually going forward, my fear is that, when investors start to price in a little bit of the kind of U.S. economy fundamentals, and that could weaken a little bit of the dollar, even though, in a risk-averse environment, it usually benefits the U.S. dollar. So I think for now, on the Singapore dollar side, the MES has already anchored the currency expectations by moving to a zero appreciation stance. So we do look for, I think, for now, some weakness in the Sing dollar against the US dollar for now, but I don't see that persisting for too long because that will also mean that the US dollar strength gets stretched.
We've been speaking with Jeff Ng, Senior Treasury Strategist at HL Bank. Jeff, thank you. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.